to the Lisa.fm book club. I'm Lisa Osborne. We're brought to you by YourCardsOfDestiny.com. This is Chapter 8 of the Oprah Book Club selection, A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle, The Discovery of Inner Space. Today, I'm joined once again by Joan Norton, who's a Jungian psychologist. She's also a channeler and an expert on the divine feminine. Joan's blog is blog.MaryMagdalenWithin. She has a great book on called Mary Magdalene Within, where she actually channeled Mary Magdalene stories. It's a fascinating story, and that's how Joan and I met. And so Joan's here to talk about Chapter 8 and put it in the perspective of the divine feminine, which Eckhart actually mentions in an earlier chapter, the collective divine feminine consciousness, where women are tapping into that and may feel some emotions based on that. I'm also joined this week by Jennifer Hott, who is leading the book club class for A New Earth on Twitter, the text messaging technology. And find out, you can sign up for Jennifer's group at twitter.com/bookclubclass. Jennifer and I actually met in Chicago when we were invited to go to the Oprah show. So we're both in Southern California, but had to go to Chicago to meet. Thank you, ladies, for being here today.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm getting more and more excited about this book the more that I read, and I love the idea that this book talked about earlier on about the problems of the overly strong ego being so related to the repression of the feminine and of women, because that's really the area that I love to talk about. So when we talk about how the discovery of inner space, I feel like we are talking specifically about our own process of rediscovery of the feminine spirit within. So I'm excited about all of it.
And you mean that because the feminine is really magnetism and drawing to you what you want, versus, like me and my friends like to say, going out and clubbing it and dragging it home, right? The feminine is the drawing to-you-ness of it, which a lot of women today might have a hard time trusting in that.
Yes, that's a good lead-in to what we're talking about today, the trust issue, I think, because we're being taught and shown in the Tolle book about how to discover our own inner space, and it's the discovery of that awareness and that instinct which is inside of us, which leads to confidence and trust in our own instinct and our own magnetism, so that we don't have to feel that we have to, what did you say, drag it and
club it and drag it home.
One of my questions of feminine energy when going within is trying to decipher what is a role that I play, thinking this is my feminine expression of self, and really trying to go in and decipher what truly it means, what is my true feminine energy, and how am I expressing that for real from a soulful place in the world, that I'm a mother and a sister and a daughter. So, I mean, I find it really interesting, the efforts that go in, and to find that I still am a woman.
Well, that's really expressed so well, because I think it's the mothers and the sisters and the daughters, and especially you who are mothering currently, who can provide so much wisdom for the world getting healthier and going forward. And it's trusting, learning how to trust that you have the wisdom inside, that I think is what we're talking about. You know, so many years of it being denigrated, and that's all changing so wonderfully now. But I think the question that you were asking, if I heard you right, was, well, how do I know? I go through the process of quieting down and wanting to have that inner awareness, and I've been breathing. That's such a wonderful instruction, because just the breathing takes me right back into my body, and it's right back into my instinct and my wisdom there. When I breathe, I get right back there to my inner awareness again. And then I think your question was, well, how do I know that I'm accessing my inner awareness?
Yeah, Jennifer? Instead of like just, you know, playing a role for my child, and I mean, I'm feeling a greater sense of compassion when I breathe and I get quieter. But how do I know that, you know, what's the true feminine energy that I'm expressing in my life?
Well, let's see, a couple of things. There's the kind of classic teaching of it's the first still small voice that we hear when we have gotten quiet.
Yeah.
And it's that first voice, which is the voice of the soul. And so we can really trust that. And it's the negative voices or the voices of kind of bad training or something that come in next. So, and that's just that's a learned capability to be able to hear and trust the very first instinct and the very first voice that we hear. And then your other question is really such a good one. How do I know that I am in my feminine spirit and my feminine being? And I think Tolle helps really so much in that direction when he talks about the sense of presence and the sense of now, which is such an attribute of mothering, don't you think, Jennifer? Like, you have to be in the now. That's
absolutely
everything.
Otherwise, it's different than trying to form your children into something. It's a different energy. You're just there with them, and it's really a beautiful experience. And to learn that that's okay, and actually it's necessary for them to align with what their purpose is. So it's a new vibration. It's a new world for mothering, and it's a lot more pleasant. And I think our kids, you can really see how they're our teachers. We're allowed to have a different kind of balance between us.
And through reading the book and realizing that through allowing them to teach you versus being in your mind and thinking that you're the mother and you need to be doing things to teach them, when you allow yourself to be and see what there is to learn in any situation, that seems like that's the feminine, and that takes you to the inner space, as he's speaking of, which is higher consciousness. And to be able to observe the person who's having the reaction, whether you're angry, they talked about on the Oprah's webcast this week, or whether you're sad, like I was disappointed in something over the past week, and being able to observe myself being sad helped me to sort of like help my heart to release in order to kind of be able to be with the feeling. And they talked a lot about in the week 8 webcast at Oprah.com about allowing the change to happen and becoming comfortable with change and not clinging to it, because that's when the resistance comes up. And through reading the book, I've been able to be aware of if I'm resisting something or not, and I'm not perfect yet. But through not wanting to resist the change or a situation being as it is, you know, to be, and going back to being in the now, because right now at this moment when I'm driving home from work and listening to the book on CD, I'm in this space where I'm comfortable. Whereas if you're thinking about a situation that you want to be different, then you're just not comfortable. That's your mind chatter.
I know what you mean. I think when I first tried to get that distance to be able to view myself from that perspective, I wasn't quite able to change my reaction. But I could at least get a laugh at myself, like I knew what I was going to do. I reacted that way, and I did it, and I did the thing of the role, and I fulfilled that duty. You do have to learn to get, if you can just laugh, if you know you're going to do this predictable thing, it does give you some leverage to kind of shift away from it and just accept first how you usually behave, accept your reaction, and then also accept that situation at the same time. And then you can kind of pull away a little bit more and just maybe entertain a different response next time, or no response, and just say, okay, I don't have to know what I'm going to do. I just have to be in that moment and try to get there.
Mm-hmm.
It really can be broken down into little steps.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're really describing the natural attributes of mothering and the mothering instinct and mothering capabilities. So everything that he's talking about is so related to understanding the sacred feminine and to understanding that you are incarnating the divine feminine as you are being a mother and being so receptive to your child's reactions and kind of holding back your own reactions but being aware of them. That receptivity is so feminine. The sense of process that you're describing is so feminine. The sense of being present in your body is so feminine.
And that's, I think, a lot of people have a hard time being comfortable in their body because they want their body to be something different than it is. The society makes it a challenge to be comfortable in your body, I guess.
Well, I just really feel that the younger women have a growing sense of spiritual self-esteem as so related to the feminine instinct and feminine spirituality. And along with that, just naturally is coming more confidence and acceptance of our bodies being just so beautiful, just the way we are.
On page 225 was a favorite part of this chapter for me, where he says, non-resistance, non-judgment, and non-attachment are three aspects of true freedom and enlightened living. So being able to not resist and not, and he also goes into in another part of the book, making friends with the present. It's not like we're out there at war every day when we go out and get in our car and get on in rush hour traffic on the freeway. So go out and make friends with the present and also practice the non-resistance, non-judgment, and non-attachment.
Well, that just sounds like how Jennifer probably is with her children and how good mothers are with their kids, that sense of being in the moment and not being overwhelmed by thinking, you know, planning, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, but being able to just enjoy the moment with the child. So a lot of what he recommends, I think it's useful to think about it in terms of good mothering, either with your real, you know, real physical children or your own inner child.
I think a big thing for me to start to heal myself, that non-judging is something I've had to kind of take off in layers. And I felt like I think a lot of it was fear and pain underneath these
mm-hmm.
judgments that I didn't even view as judgments originally. So I kind of started to have the shift instead of judging myself to say, okay, if let's just say I was my daughter, what would I do? What would I tell her? How would I treat her in this situation? And it was a lot more compassion that I could bring in for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I could step away from the roles that I had put in my head because I had judged other people harshly and myself. And it was really the way in to get that non-resistance. Because sometimes when fighting non-resistance, it's like quicksand, you know?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And that's a great point, that we are harder on ourselves very often than we are on other people. And to be able to be there, being the kind parent for yourself rather
yes.
than cutting yourself down.
Yes, and applying these same wonderful philosophies and principles to ourselves, it really is kind of the ultimate challenge to have a sense of love for ourselves and a sense of okayness with right now, whatever's happening right now, to accept the process of the moment and accept me in the moment and to have a sense of receptivity to life because it's right here and I'm okay and life is okay. It sounds so easy when I say it, but we all know for sure that's the tough job we're all doing right now, I think, is that job on our spiritual self-esteem.
Yeah, and you mentioned the breathing is so important, and he goes into that more as we get toward the end of the book, and how even that just taking deep breaths is more important than signing up for any class or reading any book. It's really about being in touch with ourselves and our being versus feeling like we need to fill up our lives with being busy and doing all day.
You know, I've learned from the spoken meditations that I do in the Magdalene circles that I say a few things. They're kind of like lullabies from the sacred feminine mother. And I say a few things, and then I take a really, really nice long breath and then have a few more words and then have more of that breathing. And I've come to see over the last few years that breathing part of what we do is every bit as healing as any of the words that I say.
It's slowing down. It's slowing down the mind,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sounds so wonderful. it really does, the lullabies and the breathing. And that's what Oprah said. She said on the webcast, is the most abundant thing you can have is breath.
Mm. Yeah, which we take for granted.
Yes, and the sacred feminine and the great mother and the feminine face of God, those are all the ways that I describe the feminine spirit. And she is abundant and never-ending, and she does have lullabies for us and endless breath and endless goodness coming from her.
That's wonderful. This is Lisa.fm Book Club, brought to you by YourCardsOfDestiny.com. I'm speaking with Joan Norton, who you just heard talking about the Divine Feminine and Mary Magdalene. Her website is MaryMagdalenWithin.com, and she leads Mary Magdalene Circle once a month in Hollywood, California. So check out our book club page or MaryMagdalenWithin.com for more info there. Also, Jennifer Hott is with us this week. She leads the Oprah Book Club chat on twitter.com/bookclubclass. Jennifer, you had an aha moment in this week's chapter that you wanted to talk about.
Well, I wanted to talk about getting to the place of confidence with right action. Eckhart talks about getting still and accepting the moment and then letting an action come through you. And I guess that's where I'm right there, I think. I know my patterns. I've been able to observe myself. And now I just want to make sure that just because I'm doing something new, I just don't have the trust, I think, finding that right action. It's more of a question, really. I'm really right there looking at that.
So you're looking, it might be more in your mind, you're not sure, whereas Oprah said in the webcast this week, whereas if you know something's right, like even if it's buying a pair of shoes, you don't have to ask the clerk in the store, your friend, everyone about the shoes. You can get silent inside of yourself and know whether something is right or not. Joan, do you have any info on that? And I have one a tip that I read about in Red Book magazine over the weekend that I tried that was really cool. I'll share that in a moment. But Joan, do you have anything?
I would say that the breathing, first of all, just to let yourself have the really deep breath, and then, as I was saying, to respect the first word that comes into your mind. If things come to you as words, to respect the very first one, and that the action will follow that word. And not everyone has the inner voice speak in words. Sometimes it's pictures. Sometimes it's songs.
Or like you said, like watching for the clues. Something might come on the TV or the radio or a song.
Yeah.
That catches your attention that might have a message for you.
Yes.
And you just both reminded me that I think I'm compartmentalizing because I do my meditation, my breathing, and my grounding. And then I think I just kind of get into my day, and I'm, even though I'm feeling I'm in the moment, I'm more excited. Accepting of what's going on, I'm not really taking the breathing into my day with me. I think that's a big clue for me, that to continue to do those little breaths in the moment. Even though I'm feeling the moment differently, I'm seeing it differently, but I'm not exactly integrating with it because I'm not breathing in the moment. I think I just had my aha moment right now.
Oh, good. That's great.
And what was your clue, Lisa?
Well, over the weekend, I was flipping through the new issue of Red Book magazine, and they had some bullet points for tapping into your intuition based on Sonia Choquette's latest book. She's a metaphysical author through Hay House. And one of the tips was, if you weren't sure if you had a question in your head and you weren't sure the answer, you write it down on a piece of paper using the hand that you write with, your dominant hand, and then put the pen in your other hand.
Mm-hmm.
And see what word comes up. Like you might write a word that could be a clue. I actually got like a sentence, and it was really weird when you put the pen in your other hand how the other side of your brain must be working, the intuitive. So I was able to get a couple of questions answered that way, and that felt okay with me.
Well, that's a really great tip. It accesses the right brain, which is the intuitive and the feeling and the spiritual and the pathway to the more of us, all of the vast unknown. And it also is the way that a lot of people start their capability to channel.
And also, just another offshoot of that is writing down, like doing the morning pages, as Julia Cameron, who does The Artist's Way, suggests. You wake up and you do write down it like a journal, but it's more stream of consciousness. So it's not to save or it's not for other people to read, but it's almost like a download to get what's on your mind every morning onto paper, and then that helps your mind from chewing over things and allows you to move beyond any things you might be resisting or fearing happening.
And in that way, and also with dreams and getting into the habit of writing your dream down every morning, we develop that sense of separate awareness that Tolle is talking about, that sense of just being able to observe our own consciousness and our own process, and then act in accordance with what feels like our purpose.
So as a junior,
I always have to put a plug in for dreams and writing dreams down, because that's just such an accessible way to know our real inner self.
And as a Jungian psychologist, you might have some tips for us to remember our dreams.
I've come to understand that if we make an invitation to the dreamer part of ourself, which is our soul, I'd say, that if we make an invitation and have an attitude of receptivity towards that wisdom within, that the dreams really will start. And I don't know about other people, but I have to write them down really right away in the morning because they're so fleeting.
Ask ourselves a question before we go to sleep at night and to look for the answer in our dreams, right?
Yes, and the way that was taught to me was just to say, to ask the same question for 3 nights in a row. Sometimes it's kind of a pressure if you say, okay, tonight's the night, I've got to have a dream about that, and then there's a tension about that. But if you ask the question 3 nights in a row, that gives yourself a little time to have the dream.
Oh, that's great. And remember it, and then you might even have reoccurring themes if you write down each night what you remember.
Well, you really will. You absolutely will. We could really go on and on about dreams, of course, and the recurring themes. But that's one great way to get to know your inner being and your inner space, is by writing your dreams down, and you begin to see the themes that you are, and the things that you want to work on within yourself, and the things that are developing within yourself.
And we might be able to discover our inner purpose.
That's so much a part of the nature of the feminine spirit also, that's so much different than, let's see, a way that we may have all been taught about kind of focusing. The feminine spirit is diffuse, and there are many pathways, and there certainly are many ways to get answers, and there are many, many attributes of a woman and of the feminine spirit. So we don't need to hold to absolutely one way.
That's interesting that there are many ways, whereas women, feminine energy is more collaborative versus masculine energy being competitive, where there's one winner. So women, the female, to be female is really to be more collaborative. Well, thank you, ladies, for joining me today.
Well, thank you, Lisa. This has been fun. Thank you, Jennifer.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. Lisa.
On our book club page, which you can get to from lisa.fm, you can get links to Jennifer's Twitter page and Joan's Mary Magdalene page. But let me give you the URLs once again. Joan is blogging at blog.marymagdalenewithin.com, and that's her book, Mary Magdalene Within. And Jennifer is leading the book club class for the Oprah.com book, A New Earth, on Twitter. So it's twitter.com/bookclub class, so you can be treated to text messages throughout the week based on comments of being posted on Jennifer's Twitter page. Thank you, ladies, and I look forward to talking with you again, and we're on to Chapter 9 next week, Your Inner Purpose. This is lisa.fm.